10 years ago today, one of the greatest calls ever by one of the best people ever as Middle Tennessee State knocked off Michigan State. Let's bring in the guy who made that call, Chip Walters. Chip, I know it's been 10 years now, but hearing that again, I mean, that's goosebumps. Just what a day. It would take you back 10 years. I mean, listen, I know you said at the end there, you and Kyle talk about, we believed. Did you really believe that day when you're taking on a Michigan State team that everybody thought was going to win it all?
Well, I tell you, the team did for sure. And you know, we had been around them during practice. And I remember Ronnie Hamilton, who was an assistant coach on that staff, he had the scouting report. He was the one who put it together. And I remember him coming to Kermit at one point that week and said, "Coach, we got a shot at these guys." And, you know, and when you go back and you look at the makeup of that team, it was – you know, with Reggie Upshaw and Giddy Potts and Perry Buford and Darnell Harris and Jaquan Raymond, who started that game, they, you know, they had gone through a tough schedule. But they had gone through, had a couple of tough losses at the end of the regular season, lost a game against UAB and lost one against Western Kentucky. But the loss to Western Kentucky really stung. I remember it was like a 3-point game. They came back, beat Marshall, then won a couple of games on the road and took them into the conference tournament and went through the conference tournament and had to play a really good Old Dominion team in the championship game. They were just kind of built of the right stuff for that kind of game. And, you know, they did not – they were, you know, they were ready for the moment. They weren't overwhelmed by the stage and tell you, he goes, the thing that impressed him the most about it was how his team acted after the game. It wasn't like they'd gone out and won the whole thing. They went through the handshake line and went back to the locker room and said, "Okay, let's get ready for Syracuse."
That was something else. I know we've talked about this before, but as you call that game, and you just knew Michigan State was going to come back, and that's why I couldn't enjoy the moment, because you were expecting Michigan State to come back. But every time Michigan State started to come back, Middle would nail a three or get a good stop. I mean, it was truly a team effort to beat Michigan State on that day.
It was, and you know, I'm looking at the box score right now. There wasn't a lot of subbing going on that day. Reggie played 38 minutes. Giddy and Perrin, 39. Darnell Harris, 28. And Jaquan Raymond played 37 minutes. So those core guys really had to do the job. But, you know, I thought – and Kermit and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when this team got back together. They were recognized at Murphy Center on the 10th for this 10th anniversary. And, you know, it seemed like from a mental standpoint that Michigan State never got the lead. You know, it was tied one time, but it was one of those things. It was like, you know, boy, if they ever got the lead, that would kind of deflate the basketball a little bit. But I just thought, you know, Middle was just super tough that day. And, you know, and there's a great, you've seen it 100 times, the picture of Reggie's dunk at the end. And that play, if you remember, there was a block shot or a steal, I can't remember which, that Jaquan Raymond got. And this is kind of the play that sums up that group, is the ball touched all five players after Jaquan got the ball. It touched all five players, never touched the floor, and ended up with a dunk in Reggie's hands. So it was that was kind of the quintessential moment. It was the exclamation point, the cherry on top, whatever you want to say. But,
right.
But that play kind of summed up that group and that year.
We're talking to Chip Walters, voice of MTSU, I think the best voice in college athletics. He was on the call 10 years ago for this MTSU game. Hey, something's not talked about a lot, but you were there. What was the next 24 hours like for you, for Kyle, for Chris Massaro? I mean, for everybody involved, what was going on? Because it truly was, Chip. I mean, that's all anybody was talking about for that next 24 hours.
Well, it was, you know, for nobody wanted to talk to me and Kyle, but you know, it was the arena and the hotel were close enough to where we could walk. And so it was like three or four blocks. So after the game, walking down the street, and there are people who are coming in for the next session, you know, they see you wearing blue or whatever, and they're, hey, go Blue Raiders, you know, that kind of thing. And all of that, you know, Kermit talked about how, you know, obviously he just got blown up, but by, you know, everybody in the media. And he talked about how Marty Smith from ESPN, because CBS had the rights, ESPN couldn't be inside, that Marty Smith texted him, begging him to come outside the door so they could do an interview with him. And, you know, he was able to, he and Reggie went outside and did the interview. But, you know, I think the university did had an analysis of, you know, because if you remember, that game was the Friday afternoon game that was the national game on CBS. So it was Friday afternoon. People were off work, taking off work, that kind of thing. So there were so many eyeballs on that. But the university got a media analyst to kind of add up, you know, what was the media value of all the coverage that came from that game. And it was, you know, it was like $3.5 million worth. You know, if they were going to buy that kind of advertising,
right,
you know, that's how they looked at it. But it was crazy that, you know, but the thing was, the guys just, you know, the team was really the ones who set the tone, the guys themselves. And, you know, they set that tone at the end of the game, because they didn't get overexcited. They were very businesslike and got back to work and knew that they had a huge challenge trying to deal with the zone that Syracuse was going to throw at them. And you know, when you think back on it and you look at personnel versus personnel, that kind of thing,
right,
that the Michigan State matchup was probably a better matchup than Syracuse, simply because of the way that the Syracuse team was built and how long they were and how tough they were with that zone. And in middle, you know, really that clogged up the inside, and it was hard to make a living with the 3-point shot against Syracuse. So that being said, it was, you know, the fans of course were going crazy, and the ones who weren't there on Friday, you know, were on the interstate back to St. Louis for the Sunday game. But it was an incredible time, and it, you know, part of it's still a blur, but
sure,
you know, I think back to, you know, my freshman year in college, and that just happened to be the year we beat Kentucky at Vanderbilt, and that was all kind of a blur as well, because you played Kentucky on a Thursday night and came back on Saturday to play Louisville at Memorial Gym. So, you know, those are just things that, you know, I hope I never lose those memories, and it was just a real honor to be there and be part of it that day.
Chip Baldridge is on the line with us here on the Chase McJoe Show. Chip, looking at this year's March Madness bracket, what team do you see being the next MTSU when it comes to those top seeds?
Boy, you know, it's the world of college basketball, college football. It's changed a lot in 10 years, and you know, somebody will do it. That's the hard thing, is it's hard to predict who that's going to be.
Right.
I just kind of think that with the way that things are with, you know, NIL and all of that kind of stuff, the likelihood of those kind of things happening probably becomes a little bit less, you know, and I kind of hate it for that, because that's, you know, those are the kind of, that's what makes, you know, March Madness mad, is those kind of days that can happen. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Miami of Ohio tonight to see how they are being able to stack up. You know, they're coming off their only loss. You know, is that going to affect them, or, you know, are the Blue Bloods going to rule the day? It's, you know, that's why you play it. That's why we watch. And And that's why we look forward to this every year.
Yeah, you know, the two seed versus the 15 seed, which is the game you were calling 10 years ago today,
yep.
A team that's here in the local market, Tennessee State University, a 15 seed led by Nolan Smith. I mean, that looks like a potential upset in the making in some aspects.
Well, you know, they keep surprising me every time out. And tip of the hat to what Coach Smith has done to get that group together in such a short amount of time, because he didn't get the job until July. So they've kind of got that attitude right now. Why not us? And they're playing with a little swagger right now. That would be another great memory to have if they can go out and do that. So, hope they do. Hope they go out there and play well this week and make some memories of their own.
Chip Walters is on with us. Chip, yesterday Dr. Sidney McPhee said he's going to step down. 25 years at one place is pretty incredible. And I know things happen, things evolve. 25 years, what he's meant to the university, and now what's going forward. I'm going to throw it out there, and this is just me. I think Beverly Keel should be the next president of MTSU because I think she's one of the most brilliant people on planet Earth. That's just me. But, no, with Dr. McPhee saying goodbye, that's 25 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. And the university has gone through a lot of changes. Obviously this is a sports show, and there's been a lot of success that's happened under his watch, in athletics. But from an academic standpoint, what they have done with academic programs and ready-to-work programs, and also you look at the footprint of the university, how it's changed during his tenure. Jim Walker back in the day, kind of got that jump started, and Dr. McPhee has taken that and gone to another level with it as well. So, I think, in the overall scheme of things, for sure, will live for a long, long time. And obviously when you've done something that long, it's got to be an emotional thing to see the end of the line coming, and he's made that decision, and he's gone through losing his wife in the last couple of months, so his life is going to change, and the university will continue to move on, but you're correct in that you and I both are huge Beverly Keel fans.
Yep.
She and I were in school together. You and she were in school together at McGavick, and she's doing a terrific job as dean of the Scott Borchetta College of Media and Entertainment. There are a lot worse choices for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick before you go, the Conference USA schedule came out, middle schedule came out. What's going to happen with Louisiana Tech? And if people don't know this story, it's crazy because they got 1 foot in Conference USA, 1 foot in the Sun Belt, and there's like 38 games on their schedule. What's going to happen with that?
Well, the actual number is 20. They've got 20 games on their schedule right now, but it's pretty obvious that, number one, Conference USA and the Sun Belt were the last two leagues to put out a schedule simply because of this whatever legal maneuvering that's going on. And it goes back to Louisiana Tech trying to get out. They had already announced they were going to be leaving Conference USA at the end of next school year. Now they're trying to get out a year early, and there's a financial penalty to that. I don't claim to know all the ins and outs of the legalities, but obviously there are lawyers involved, and that's why both leagues all of a sudden put a schedule out, last Thursday night or whatever it was,
right,
Thursday or Friday. And so it will be interesting. There will be some money change hands somewhere. And if you remember a few years ago, this same sort of thing happened, and Conference USA ended up, because of fluctuation in memberships, had to put out a second schedule. And that's going to be, if I was to guess, that would be what would happen. I would, if I was going to put all those games in my calendar, Joe, I would do it in pencil right now.
Right.
Not in ink just yet. And to figure out where we're going to go. But I think our you know, our non-conference schedule is going to be pretty set. But then, you know, is it going to be just as simple to plug one other school into all those openings? I don't think it's going to be that easy. So I'm sure they've got one waiting in the wings and just waiting to see how this all plays out. But it's a little bit of a soap opera.
It is. Chip, as always, man, appreciate you. Love you, man. Thank you for all you do, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, man.
All right, Chip Walters, voice MTSU 10 years ago today. Wow, with MTSU knocking off Michigan State. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, brought to you by the beautiful Omni Natural Hotel on 102.5 The Game.